because the report light is not.
Wait, say that again.
You're
please?
A film genius.
Thank you very much.
She's going to sample that. Put it Ray? In the remix track.
Ritzy!
Carmine!
How are you?
I am really good.
Where are we, and what the hell are we doing?
Well, we are in downtown Seattle at a bar called the Zigzag Cafe.
Okay.
We're just hanging out after work on a Monday.
Yeah.
Having a few drinks, talking about our favorite things.
Every week.
That's right. Talking about, ready to talk to you about Mix 08 a little bit.
About Mix 08. Okay. Yep. So this is the third mix.
It is.
But before we get into that, there's other people here.
Yes.
And let's pan around. Work my panning skills. Look at this.
Wow.
Hey.
Who are you? I'm Ray.
Okay.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. We yeah. saw you last year with Beth.
That's true. With Beth. That's true.
Outstanding.
So you've never seen me.
No.
At least not on one of these.
We've heard of you, though.
You have heard of me, and I do have a couple Channel 9 videos.
Really?
Yeah,
are you on the camera?
You might remember me from such Channel 9 videos.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm Mike.
Calling Methods.
Like the Calling Methods, right. And they hit.
Yes.
Exporting from Illustrator.
All right.
Followed by.
You have a recent
The Flash Exporter, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah
a totally. Sequel.
But you just did something else.
I wrote a Vista Gadget.
No, but you also did the seamer.
The seam carving work, yeah. Absolutely. Going up on Codeplex.
Yes. So you're the developer of
that. I guess I am.
Right there.
Yes,
that's Mike Swanson.
Yeah.
And over here.
And I have no credibility. I just sweep the floors around
so
here.
So long ago.
Come on.
Yeah. I lost it so long ago.
Who are you?
Thomas Lewis.
All right. What do you do, man? What's your story?
I'm a evangelism manager for UX. User experience.
User experience. So you're part of this whole mix thing.
Part of the whole mix thing. All right. Actually been in part of it since the very beginning.
Since the first mix.
Yeah. I was one of the first content owners.
All right.
For the very first year.
Excellent. All right. So we're at Mix 08. What is different between Mix 08 and Mix 07?
Is this like spin the camera?
Yes.
Whoever it lands on has to answer.
Well, it has to land on Ritzy. So what's your role in this madness this year?
So I am the conference owner this year.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Ray was last year.
Yes, he was.
I drew the short straw this year.
Okay. So what's the difference between Mix this year? First of
Can
all...
Can we start with some similarities?
Well, let's talk about this for the people in the audience who may not know. What is Mix all about? Why are we doing this?
Yes, I think we should have one of the newbies answer that question. If they get it right,
okay.
You're nice.
The big
if
boss.
They get it wrong,
they get a free drink.
We'll beat them.
A free drink.
Let's all right,
here we go. The all camera's right, turning. The camera's turning.
What's Mix?
Gosh, what is Mix?
Yeah.
So Mix is our conference basically for the next web. It's for folks who want to design the next web, develop the next web, or if you want to monetize the next web, make some money off the next web. And it's all of our technologies that come together, platform story, how to make life better on the web. It's about being cool. It's about being hip.
Uh-huh.
He needs drinks.
Does he pass?
He needs a drink. Not bad.
Yeah.
What do you say, Thomas? What's your answer?
I think Mix is just the kick-ass conference. Basically, that's it. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, we all have these kind of things that we say, you know, oh, it's this, that, and the other, and we've got our, you know, nice messages. But really, it's about people who, you know, are you doing something on the web? Are you developing? Are you designing? Are you a part of it?
Yeah.
You know, you want to be around other people who are the same, right? And you want to go a place where, you know, yeah, we're going to talk about Microsoft stuff because we're Microsoft. But you want to be around other people who are thinking about what the next wave is going to be. What are the new things that are happening? And how are other people doing stuff? I mean, one of the things that I find exciting about Mix that I don't see at a lot of other places is that you have people, not only Microsoft, but other third parties telling you, you know, hey, this is how we do stuff, and you learn from it. It's about sort of doing it versus just kind of saying you're going to do it.
All right. That said, let me pan on your T-shirt.
Let me step in my gut.
Very nice. All right. So
Texas.
Now we have the basic gist.
The gist.
But Mix is also fun.
Can I just say it? Yeah. I just want to say
of course you can say it.
So I am the marketing person as well.
Right? Marketing?
Yes.
Marketing.
But we are back in Vegas.
Yes.
Back at the Venetian Hotel again.
Nice.
March 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Okay. Which is what? Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
It's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so you can spend your weekend in Vegas.
Nice.
Yes.
Designed it that way.
On purpose, absolutely.
Yep. Outstanding.
Steve Ballmer, Microsoft CEO, is going to keynote along with Guy Kawasaki.
Okay.
Which is very cool.
Very cool.
For developers, of course, we have Scott Guthrie, who is the general manager in our developer division.
Who everybody knows.
He's great. To get out of the way.
You know what, though? You're not really a marketing woman. But you might have, you can say that to yourself. People know you from the women episode.
That's true.
So, Ray.
Women at Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Women in technology.
Yes.
So, Ray, last year we talked, and basically, I mean, let's talk a little bit of strategy here. For example, let's talk about this. I mean, does Microsoft really get user experience?
I think so.
Are we a user experience kind of platform company, or are we a developer company?
Absolutely. We are 100%. Well, those two aren't exclusive. So, increasingly, the best software, I think we're all aware of this these days, the best software is really when the best developers come together with the very best user experience people. And that's how you get the best software. So Microsoft's 100% committed to user experience, really building a platform that enables creative people to work with developers to create truly great software. I think that's where we're a little bit different than some of the other companies that approach space. We're a very platform-oriented company. We think platform. So for us, what delivering a great user experience means is building a platform that makes it very easy for people to build software on top of it, and designers, developers come together to deliver that experience.
But to be fair, we've gotten feedback that the first two Mix conferences, we didn't focus enough on designers, and
that's
so we've taken that feedback very seriously.
Okay. Oh, you mean we listen to feedback?
Believe it or not.
Wow.
Just this one time.
Okay.
Not going to make a regular thing.
So, let's talk about it. What are you going to do?
We always want feedback, right? We totally
we always
want feedback.
Do. M. Swanson at Microsoft.com.
Yes.
That's right.
So you got feedback. There was two Devi.
Yes.
What are you doing about it?
Yes. That? So we are going to have a special focus on user experience and designers this year with some of our breakout sessions and content. The plan is still coming together, but we have some designers who actually work on our team who are helping to formulate what this is going to look like, getting some of the top industry folks to come and speak as part of this track.
Excellent. Well, Guy Kawasaki knows a little bit about user experience.
I would
imagine.
Indeed.
That's very nice.
So Guy's going to be fun. So what we're going to do with Guy this year is longtime mixers may remember the first mix we had Bill Gates sit down and talk to Tim O'Reilly, and the two of them had a conversation about the industry and what's going on and so forth, took questions from the audience. That's what we're doing this year with Steve Ballmer and Guy Kawasaki.
On the
stage at the same time. The two of them are going to have a conversation, a meeting of
minds.
What
an interesting combination.
We think so, and I personally can't wait to see what they're going to talk about. But, Guy and his history with Apple and all that stuff, talking to Steve and lots of interesting things are coming up. And then, of course, the audience will get a chance to participate in that, inject some questions as well. So that's one of the things that I'm personally most excited about this year. That's going to be great.
Outstanding.
So, Charles, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to take this camera just for a second. Is it on me? Do I look good?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is this thing
on?
Yes.
Fix your hair.
Testing.
Fix your hair.
Okay.
Good. There you go. Speak, Michael, speak.
Okay.
Drink your port,
let me drink my port.
This is like his third drink ever.
Ever. Almost.
Yeah. Mike Swanson does not drink alcohol. Okay.
Great. Fantastic.
And he still doesn't.
All right. I still don't.
Port's not really
yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah, okay, come on. So this user experience thing, right? We're talking sometimes, we're from evangelism, we do marketing. Sometimes our language.
Wait a minute, we do marketing?
Yeah, we talk in marketing speak a lot of times.
Okay.
So I want to break it down. This is what it means to me.
Okay.
When we talk user experience, I've got a perfect case in point with a customer that I worked with in the field years ago. And I think this will resonate with other developers that are out there, other designers that are out there.
Cool.
Matter of fact, Jennifer, you were aware of this project. It was our Next Opinion project. It was a medical application meant to be in the hand of a physician in a third world country. It had to be easy to use, didn't require a lot of training. And we worked with the development team in Michigan, and they were smart enough to actually get a designer involved really early on, right? Not typical, frankly, for a lot of software development projects, especially years ago. So they saw fit to bring a designer on early on, and they were involved in all of the brainstorming, all the architecture discussions, and influenced the shape of the application throughout the entire development lifecycle. Not something, frankly, I'd been used to. So you fast forward a little bit, and we ran into kind of the classic issue, and that is the designer coming up with these great mock-ups and these great interactions, and then the development team, frankly, having to take these things and trying to
figure out how to build them,
right? How do you implement them? And this is not a simple thing. It's a very difficult thing. And when you start costing and budgeting the cost to build out some of this really fancy stuff, at the time, totally prohibitive. So you can only do so much. And it was always a lot of this back and forth. I will tell you what, and now I'm going to sound like an evangelist, frankly, but with something like Silverlight or WPF and XAML, I only kind of rewind in my brain what that experience would have been like if I could use the tools that we have today back then. Because literally he could have taken the same designs that he made related to the user interface and the interaction model, and all the work that he would have done, he literally could have just thrown it over to us, we could have opened it up in the tools, and we could have made that stuff sing. There'd have been no additional costs involved, it just would have worked. To me, that would have been a perfect example of, I think, what we can achieve today, and I hope people are achieving today. That connection between, here's what that designer and that interaction professional wants, and you're going to get exactly
Here's what I would interject, though. We've been talking about this for 3 years now.
Yes, we have.
So, who's doing this? Who are setting up shops where you have designers designing using their favorite XAML editor and then sending the XAML over to a dev that opens it up in Visual Studio and that actually makes it useful? Where does this happen?
Well, of course, a big key component of that whole thing is Visual Studio 2008, which is just about to ship, which is what really makes a lot of this reality.
You got it.
So that's an important piece, and now that that's behind us, you'll start to see more of this, but people are doing this all over the world today. It's starting. It's starting. And it's starting first with sort of the creative agencies, the web design agencies, and, you know, folks have traditionally done that kind of work. They're leading the charge. But I absolutely expect this to become the mainstream behavior. Because like Mike, I have 100 war stories like that of things. You know, the thing for me that you know, before I came to Microsoft, I was involved in creating video games and all that stuff. I did a lot of work.
Some other very interesting things.
You know, a lot of bizarre things.
Yes.
But the thing that would come up again and again and again, I sat through a number of these, exactly what you're talking about, that the designers would sit down, they'd design these beautiful Photoshop things, and then we'd sit around the negotiation table with the developers, like the end of the Korean War, you know, we're negotiating back and forth, like, okay, you can have this, but you guys can't have
that. You can have that rounded button, but it's going to cost you
And
this.
That was the thing, the single thing that came up every single time. This crystallizes the whole thing for me, is rounded corners. That, like, there's designers, the thing they'd always come up with is, okay, all the windows and all the buttons and everything, the corners are all rounded because it's more organic, it gives a more natural feel, it's softer, it's more friendly, it's more user, whatever. The number of hours I've spent with designers and developers arguing over whether those corners really had to be rounded, because the developers, of course, would always say, you know, we could shave weeks of development time off this thing. If you just made everything square and to the pixel, and it's just so much easier for us to code, do you really have to have the rounded thing? Because if you have to do that, well, we got to cut these other five features, because making all that work and making those perfectly round corners anti-alias over everything else, you know, and stuff. And exactly, and that's perfect. What we're on the path to just deliver, as I said. XAML flows right out of one tool.
XAML rules!
XAML does rules. If you're a managed developer, yes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I just want to point out that we actually do have a lot of large enterprise customers, early adopters, who are building real applications with these technologies, and I don't know if we can talk about them here. Maybe we want to save them for Mix08.
That's fair enough. And they'll be at Mix.
These folks run programs that work with very large customers who are adopting this technology, so it's real.
As is she.
Yes. So that actually is a really good segue, because unlike many of our conferences that we put on, Mix, you guys actually have a concerted effort to have people who don't work at Microsoft present what they do. So in other words, they evangelize our technologies from realistic applications that they've done. That's actually not that common in our conferences.
That's right. That's one of our guiding philosophies around Mix, is having a lot of industry speakers at the event. I think it's like one third, right? That's what our guideline is. But we always, so far we've exceeded it every time.
Almost a half.
It's not the kind of blowhard industry speakers, because like every time I hear about industry veterans and stuff, I always get kind of crazy, because I think it's going, you know, oh, I've done blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Who cares? Right. What it's about is that, you know, people want to understand how did someone build something? How are they thinking through things? So, like, one of the best sessions I ever saw was year one, when we had MySpace come up, and they talked about, here's when we just, you know, had this one machine and what we did. and they showed how they grew over time. And it was kind of interesting because someone asked the question. They were like, well, you know, now that you know this, now that you know that you were this huge thing, would you go and do it differently? And they said, well, yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but, you know, we probably wouldn't have because we didn't know that we were going to be what we are. There's going to be times that you're going to kind of evolve the way that you build things. And it was kind of jaw-dropping because here was someone, you know, everyone said is like the top site, and, you know, they're not perfect. And so I think one of the cool things that you see at Mix that you don't see at a lot of other places is that people are sort of telling you the reality of, you know, even the people from Microsoft, you know, are saying, hey, here's how you can use our tools, and here's how to use them in the right way. Like design, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, you know, and Microsoft, we tend to talk a lot about the, you know.
We do, by the way.
But we talk about that developer designer that, you know, hey, XAML sort of brings it together. And what's great is that, you know, we're sort of evolving from that now. So, like, one of the things that you'll see this year for, like, designers, for example, is not just necessarily about, you know, hey, what's that lingua that we're going to use to talk to each other, but basically, how is it that designers should think about things? You know, how is it that they become inspired? How is it that they go through their workflows and processes?
Yes.
So we're trying to bring in people who can sort of talk about that. So, you know, a designer isn't going to show up and hear, you know, oh, I'm going to go to designing with Silverlight. It's going to be about, hey, how do I go and I build something or do something inspirational? And, you know, Silverlight is what I use to do that. But it's not a feature crawl. It's more about how is it that I'm going
to
do it.
But let's talk about that. I mean, that's a really interesting thing that we tend to run into a lot. And let's be honest here. So we create Silverlight. We already have, you know, lots of people who are proficient in Flash who happen to be designers. What is it about Silverlight that's going to make them want to leave their already comfortable Flash knowledge environment? So let's talk about it. Cut the bullshit. Talk about that.
Sure. So there's one obvious thing, which is I think the way our vision differs a little bit from where Flash is going is what we touched on earlier, that it's our aim to make it easier for those designers to work with their developer counterparts. That's one thing that's a little bit different than the Flash world. So, you know, we're very aware of the pain that exists in that relationship today. And so the thing that we really get, you know, we get developers, we understand all that. It's our mission to ease that pain, make it easier for the folks to work together in the design.
So in Silverlight, you can make your UI in XAML. Yeah, right?
That's right.
All right.
More drinks.
Another drink?
So, yes. So
that's fine.
Sorry.
This is a great Saturday. I'm sticking with that. So.
Yep, thank you.
I think so.
So I want to talk more about that. You know,
Please.
We often talk about the developer over here and the designer way over here.
Yes.
And this meeting in the middle. And at least my interaction with a lot of what I'd call technical designers is that they're not really one or the other. They're a shade somewhere in the middle. So I remember going to, I think it was a Flash Forward conference a couple of years ago, and it was mostly a design conference, and they had a lot of talks, mostly by third parties. I think it was all third parties. And it was very creative, very inspirational kind of a conference. Very little technology was talked about in some of these sessions. Yet there were some sessions. One was called Object-Oriented Development in Flash, I think, in ActionScript.
Interesting.
And I remember thinking, hey, I'm a developer. I've got some background there.
Yes,
I'm
going to
go hear what they're talking about. And what I found in that session was eye-opening for me. And it was, I found a bunch of what I guess I'd call technical designers, so people with a lot of design skills who also have a technical bent, listening to how they could write code in an object-oriented way so that they could serve their design better. Right? So it was, how could I make my design better than the next person's design by taking advantage of the developer features of the platform? And I was encouraged. Every time some new object-oriented technique was discussed, it was written down. And these are, again, not who I'd consider hardcore developers, but they were eating this stuff up because they wanted to make their experience better for the user and be differentiated in some way.
So the concept of object is something that a designer could easily grasp.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. And, of course, once you start talking about, we start talking about managed code, you know, CLR, C#, VB.NET, all that sort of thing, object-oriented world, we've got a lot of that to bring to bear on applications that run on the web.
I mean, if you think about it, like we said before, the really great software comes from the design function working hand-in-hand with the development function, and so we're coming at it from a developer background, Adobe's coming at it from a designer background, we're both kind of meeting in the middle, chasing the same thing. It's just goodness for everybody. I'm excited about the fact that we're both pushing each other to take it a step further and get a little better.
So I guess one of the questions that I would ask as, you know, a developer who's not a designer is, when we look at products that have been created that typically are considered to be great design, right? Let's consider some of Apple's products, for example.
Sure.
Are you telling me that in Apple, which we don't really know the inner workings of Apple, but do you think that they're doing a designer-developer sort of thing? How are they
Absolutely.
Making these great UIs?
Absolutely. They're
UXs.
Well, so there's definitely some pain involved in that. Now, they have prioritized designers to an extent that other companies haven't, and that's part of why they've been successful. But it's a painful thing for them. And I'm sure if you talk to people who work at Apple, that the sort of stories Mike and I were telling about developers, designers trying to get together and agree on something, I'm sure they experience all that stuff. Actually, Apple is a great illustration of the principles we were talking about earlier about how design and development come together. And, you know, you think about the iPod, for example. And the iPod was a revolution, right? Let's admit it. The iPod was a great
Absolutely.
Product.
Yep.
It was a revolution. It's what touched off this whole digital music thing. But it wasn't, in that case, it wasn't the technology that provoked the revolution. I mean, MP3 had existed for years before that. There were even little portable MP3 players that existed for long before that. What Apple got right was the whole user experience. They got how you use that little wheel to navigate through thousands of songs and quickly select the song you want. How the whole experience of buying music, getting it on your device, doing all that stuff, how that all works end to end. That's they truly nailed. That's an example of like user experience, just nailing a scenario, bringing it forward. And those are the kind of opportunities that over, you know, I think, I believe, and Microsoft believes, that over the next 5-10 years in the software industry, that's where all the innovation is going to come from that end. It's like a really great user experience, just nailing a scenario and breaking it open.
And I think, too, what happens is that, you know, a lot of people get short-sighted because we talk a lot about user experience.
Yep.
And user experience isn't just about the bits that are on the screen.
Right. Not just the look.
Yeah, it's not just the look and feel. It's actually, what are the interactions? I mean, you know, when I talk to the designers we work with, you know, they're not thinking of, well, should I use, you know, this pastel color because it's a Web 2.0 color. What they're really doing is they're saying, okay, you know, what is a user going to do when they come to this page? What is it we want them to do? Because it's really about that interaction. And it's how do you bring all of those things together? The graphic design, the typography, the wording. You know, it's interesting. There was a book I was reading, and the guy said that the most important role on his team is the editor. They actually have an editor on there because what they do is they, you know, they write up all of this wording and stuff, and the editor comes in and says, what is it that you're really trying to accomplish? Not, don't tell me what the words you have here, but what are you trying to accomplish? And then that editor goes through and it gets it very focused in on what is the user trying to accomplish. And I think that that's one of the kind of great things about UX is that it is more encompassing, and that's where Apple, I think, you know, does a good job because they think about how is someone going to use this versus, hey, here's a technology, how do we just exploit it?
I want to throw out another example that kind of speaks to your point in that. I want to go back to that Next Opinion example, right? The idea here is a tablet-based device that was easy to use in a third world country without a lot of training. So not only did the interface have to be attractive and kind of obvious or at least discoverable, but one of the other things that the user interaction designer did on this project was really cool. Not something I would normally think of as a developer. But there were three panes that a physician would normally move their mouse between, right? And we built it like a developer. We put the buttons where they thought they would be, and they were here, and they were over here. And I remember interaction designer kind of going through a lab experience, watching how the physicians used the tablet. And the thing that this person noticed right away is that they were always clicking here, then moving their mouse wherever here, then moving their mouse wherever here, and all the way down here again. And this was a common pattern. And I don't know how many, you know, mouse miles you actually travel doing this. But what this person said is, you know what? This is such a common interaction that we're going to take all three of those buttons, we're going to move them to the bottom of this pane, in the top of this painting. And literally now, you should have seen the efficiencies that brought to the physician. They could, you know, move the mouse hardly at all, accomplish all of the same goals in a very obvious way. Not something a developer, at least any developers that I typically work with, it's not what we're necessarily thinking about. But this interaction designer, it was something that they brought to the table that made it not only more visually appealing, it made it easier to use, it made it more efficient. You know, it's a subtle thing, but it made such a huge difference.
So let me ask this one question, because I think based out of this conversation, this will be targeted more towards you guys. Ray and Ritzy, why are we focusing so much on the web for Mix? I mean, what he just described may not have anything to do with software for services or the web or the internet in particular. Why is Mix so concentrated on the web? Why isn't it the next design now?
Well, so the web, I think, is where particularly this phenomenon we've talked about developers and designers coming together. Actually, at Mix, it's really more than developers and designers. We talked a lot about that, but really there's a third part of the triangle. It's developers, designers, and business professionals.
Okay.
And I think in the web, the pace of innovation there is so great right now that that's the most obvious place where you see this, where a truly great interaction designer, a truly creative business thinker can have the biggest impact. The innovation's just going nuts. I mean, the stories we talk about, like great UX, breaking open a web experience, there's similar stories about great business thinking, like BDM. So my favorite story there might be Netflix, right? So we're all familiar with Netflix. We love it. We love the business and all that stuff. If you think about Netflix and that application, if you will, that business, is there really any really sophisticated technology there? You know, you developers, does the thought of developing Netflix really scare? Like, there's nothing really interesting on the... I mean, interesting, sure, but hard? Is there a hard developer problem?
Database.
Netflix works because some business guy came up with a very, very interesting creative business model that you know, just broke open a whole new category and a whole new business.
Okay.
So the web is really this hotbed of innovation, and that's particularly sort of the front lines where those three disciplines are coming together to do new and interesting things that are software based.
Okay, so I mean, but I would ask in particular, what are you doing at Mix that targets the business decision maker?
Well, one thing is that we're having Steve Ballmer keynote at Mix, and he definitely is a business guy. He's not a technologist, he's not a developer, and he's going to talk about revenue and monetization and those kinds of business opportunities on the web. That's one thing that we're doing this year.
Yep,
that's true. And do you expect, like, people who have really good ideas and perhaps show them off and some of the cool things that we have at Mix to maybe meet up with some of these guys?
Well, our colleagues here new we're doing at Mix this year that they should talk about.
There's a lot of things we could talk about that we're doing at Mix. I don't know which one to start with. Were you referring to Show Off specifically? All right, well, we'll talk about Show Off, which you can find on the Mixtify page. I think there is more detail there, and we'll have more later.
Mixtify.
That's right. Visit Mix.com/Mixtify, something like that. But Show Off is this idea that basically people create cool stuff, right?
Yes.
Designers, developers, technical designers, even, you know, the business folks create cool stuff, whether it's an application, whether it's an animation. We don't really know what it is, but we know it's something that's been built using some aspect of our technology, probably a lot of third-party technologies too. And we just want to kind of give folks a platform in a time at Mix to show off the cool stuff that they work on.
Excellent.
Right? It's kind of like saying, hey, Charles, come on over here into my office. Let me show you this cool demo, or let me show you this cool animation.
Yeah.
So we've created this thing called Show Off. It's the, I don't remember, the second night of Mix or something like that. It's in the evening. What we're going to ask folks to do is, you know, go out and build this cool thing, or maybe you already have the cool thing, polish it up, refine it a little bit. Create a video of it that's 3 minutes or less, so it can be up to 3 minutes long. It can really be whatever you want. It could be a screencast with a voiceover. It could be something like this where you somehow convey the technology. It could even be a mix of the two. It's really, we're leaving it kind of open-ended so that we get the creativity. But submit it to us, and we'll have submission details up on the web here fairly soon. We'll review them. We'll pick the best ones, the most inspirational ones. And then during this show-off event at Mix, we'll actually play them back-to-back, and we'll feature the work of the people who are attending Mix. As a matter of fact, even if you don't attend Mix, we'd love to show your stuff. And, of course, we'll put the stuff up on the web afterwards so that everybody can enjoy it.
And the thing is that it's not meant to be professionally done and things like that. I mean, like, you know, we've done this before, and the most interesting ones were the ones that you would show a buddy, you
know?
And
you do this for the PDC, right?
We did it for the PDC, 05, yeah. And it was kind of cool because, you know, we would get just these people who just kind of, like, set up their home video cameras and just showed off what they were doing. And those were the even more compelling than the ones where people, you could tell they put a lot of production into. So it's basically, you know, what do you think is cool? You know, submit that. Don't think, well, someone's going to come up with something better. You know, send it in.
Cool.
So it's, you know, it's up, the information's up on the web, but we haven't really announced it yet. This is probably the first big announcement of it.
Cool.
But really the call to action is, you know, videotape the cool stuff, or build the cool stuff, or polish the cool stuff, and record it and submit it to us, because we'd love to feature it. It's a buzzy event. We totally credit, you know, who does the work, the team that does the work. We want to do that.
Yeah.
And at the end, we also list the tools that were used to create it. So you can say, hey, you know, I wonder how they did that. There's the answer right there, and you can go off and you can do it yourself.
Is there going to be some sort of synergy with Open Mic?
I hope there is. You want to talk about Open Mic?
We can talk about whatever you want. Mic. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, whatever we want.
I really like.
Wow, what are we going to talk about? Data binding, Jennifer?
It was your idea.
Wait,
right?
Jennifer was going to talk about data binding. We said we need to talk tech, and Jennifer said, I am more than willing to talk about
data. But I do want
to
ask this, though, because, I mean, just to segue slightly.
Yeah.
The way that we advertise this conference is that it's a 72-hour conversation.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
No, that's the way we used to advertise this conference. Thank you.
So when we say 72-hour conversation, what does it really mean?
Drink. This is good. We don't say that anymore.
We don't.
We like that, and that was great for a couple years. No, what it really means is, and it's marketing, right? You switch out your taglines every couple years, whatever. But what we meant by that, and the principle is still valid, is Mix is designed to be very, very two-way in nature, very interactive.
Okay.
Right? So one of the things that makes Mix a little bit different and makes our approach to the web a little bit different than some of the other things we do is we realize that we play a different role in the web community, in the web ecosystem than we do in other places. The web is this very sort of, you know, social, congenial, bunch of companies coming together, you know, nobody owns the web, nobody does whatever. So we want to be responsible. We play a very important role in the web. Obviously, our browser's on 90% of machines and all that stuff. We want to be very responsible with it. We want to hear from people what we can do from our standpoint, what we can do to move our technologies forward, to make the web a better place for everybody. And so the 72-hour conversation thing was all about, yes, people like Scott Guthrie and Steve Ballmer and whomever are going to share their thoughts with you, but equally, we want to hear your thoughts in return. We want to learn what we can do better to better serve you as developers, designers, and businesses.
And you know what? No disrespect to Steve Ballmer or Scott Guthrie, but to be honest with you, it's actually in many cases, and I know Mr. Lewis agrees with this, that we want to hear from people who nobody knows.
That's
like,
right.
The people that aren't Scott Guthrie.
Yeah.
That's right.
That aren't Steve Ballmer.
Yep.
That aren't Bill Gates. I mean, come on.
Yep. That's right.
So how are we going to, I mean, what enables that at Mix?
Basically, like with me, if you find me and you say, hey, I saw the Channel 9 video.
I'm not worthy.
I basically take you out for a free drink. So all you got to do is find me. Yeah. If you are a designer or if you're a developer and you want to talk about user experience, all you have to do is say, Thomas, I saw you on Channel 9. I'd like to talk to you and have my free drink. I take you down to the bar immediately.
Yeah. Carmine will be there.
Unfortunately, all the Microsoft folks, this doesn't apply to that. But
absolutely.
Anyone who is attending, that's exactly how I can do that.
I think that your question goes to the tone of Mix, which is one of the reasons why I love working on Mix and why I love this group, is because I don't think that there are very many teams at Microsoft that would necessarily sit here and say, yes, you know what, hats off to Apple. They did a great job on the iPod.
Yes.
I think you only find pockets of that. Because a lot of us, a lot of them have drunk the Kool-Aid a bit too much.
Of course.
And I think that, you know, Mix is like, we're here to say that, you know, we don't know it all. We're not necessarily the leaders in this space. We just want to, like, a seat at the table that we feel like we've earned. Maybe come and just play with what we have and see what you think. And so that's what's really important to me about Mix in terms of all of the content, all of kind of the marketing, like, we're more like in a back seat. You know, we're hosting the event. We're not here to preach at you.
So let's talk about that, because you called it Mix. Now I know that Ritzinger and Whittinger and these other gentlemen here,
Swanziger
and Middlesinger, were definitely involved with the first mix. And the reason that you guys called it Mix was because heterogeneity, is that
whoa,
the way to say it?
Whoa, dude!
Oh my God!
Is the order of the day. Is the order of
Absolutely.
The day in the internet,
Absolutely.
In the cloud. The cloud
Absolutely.
Is not...
And you're still using words like heterogeneity. God, I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. But I mean...
You did a pretty face.
But let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because it's very important. This is not a Microsoft-only event.
Absolutely. And okay? If it ever becomes that, then...
Then it's no longer mixed.
Mix
you might as well
dead.
Call it... You know, a shock. Call it shock.
It might as well be the web PDC. So, there's a lot of speculation behind the name Mix.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
And I know that I've heard that people think that we named it Mix, which is very similar to the Max Conference, which you may have heard of. It actually had nothing to do with that at all. It was about bringing different people together and having the sum be greater than the parts. And that's
an emergent system.
Absolutely.
It's another big
Absolutely.
Word.
Yes. So we didn't want it to be Microsoft standing up there and lecturing at people like we often... Like, not that it's a bad thing necessarily. It has its place and time. But not at Mix, where in the web space, where everything's about mashups, right? Coming together and mixing things up.
Collaboration.
Excellent. So let's talk about... There's this one thing that's like... These two words that are really the order of the day for Microsoft strategy right now. And the strategy, it seems, to be all over the internet. And that's software plus services.
All right.
Yes.
I'm not supposed to be on camera.
Carmine's going to explain it to us right now.
I'm not going to explain
it. You promised me earlier you would.
I wanted to ask your guys what you think about software plus services. That was my question.
Okay.
Now, how would you define it? And what are we going to do at Mix to address what this actually really means? Thomas?
Why? I looked up on Wikipedia and the definition was...
I'm still looking up his last two terms.
Right.
Homogena something.
Homogenocide.
Homogenesis.
Right. I sort of think what's interesting is that, you know, kind of in software development, there was sort of this generation of that everything was on the PC, right? And so we all sort of, you know, we were real concerned with, like, you know, what's the processor going to be? What is it going to allow us to do? When we had graphics card, it was like, oh, wow, this is sort of interesting. Then we sort of went to the other side, which was, okay, let's centralize everything on the web. So there were like all these people who were trying to just put every single thing that they possibly could at a website. And it was believed that, well, you know, boy, no one really wants to do anything on the PC anymore, which is nothing further from the truth. Because when you talk to people, you know, what they like is they like the choice, right? If you look at Outlook, for example, when you take Outlook away from people, they're like, wow, I'm not as productive as I used to be. But the thing is that you aren't always going to have your PC with you. It's great that I can go to basically any machine that's connected to the internet, and I can go look on Outlook Web Access and get access to my mail.
Yes.
So that's not necessarily the software plus services as people are thinking about today, where you are able to take advantage of the best of both worlds. That you take advantage of what is it that the PC can offer you, and then on the flip side, you have these services that sit in the cloud, which I think is a Web 2.0 term, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
In the cloud.
Yeah. We need to put beta right up here by your head.
Yeah, put beta and, you know, curved things.
Got it.
But basically what it is it's saying, you know what, it might be good to have these things that are accessible in the cloud to us. So, for example, a lot of people today say, you know what, I would like to have, you know, my RSS feeds. I would like them to be in the cloud so that no matter what, you know, local application I use or whether I'm on a web page, that I can easily get to those via these APIs. We're also seeing in this world of mashups of people sort of taking their data and exposing it out and saying, we don't necessarily know what people are going to do with this stuff, but let's see what they come up with. And there's these incredible mashups that have happened from this software plus services, you know, sort of software lifestyle that people have now. So basically what it is you get to take the best of those both worlds, and you can take advantage of the services and the infrastructure that's available to you, let people handle that for you, so folks like such as ourselves, you know, we can build out, you know, multi-million dollar, you know, data centers that as a developer or as a designer you can take advantage of. So like a great service that I think of is like our Silverlight streaming service, where basically what we do is we say, you know what, you have this great video content, but the challenge that you probably face is the fact that, you know, you want to make it available to everybody in a very geographically geo-dispersed way.
Right.
I've had one drink.
Well, you've only had half a drink, actually.
I'm actually at half a drink.
I thought you were a partier.
You would think so.
We're going
you?
To Vegas, bro.
Oh, don't worry about that. We got Vegas covered on that one. But no, but basically, you have the ability to go ahead and put your videos onto this service, and then what we do is we do the content distribution for you. So you don't have to worry about, hey, how am I going to make sure that folks in the UK are going to get, you know, quick and easy access to these videos? We handle those types of things for you.
Okay. I see. So, from a developer's perspective, Michael...
Why does it always land on me from the developer perspective?
Well, because you're actually an extraordinary developer.
Why, thank you.
So... Let's talk about what software plus services means for a dev.
Yeah, well, I can give you an example from this past holiday. We're filming right here after the Thanksgiving holiday, as a matter of fact. And I wanted an example of building gadgets, Vista gadgets in particular. Web-based, you know, chunks of code that basically live on the sidebar inside of Vista.
Yeah.
So I had recently upgraded my home theater. I bought two TiVo units, one upstairs, one downstairs. They're networked nowadays, like a lot of devices are. As a matter of fact, my TV's networked, my audio-video receiver's networked.
Toaster?
The toaster's not networked yet. Working on that.
So you can make that toast from while
right.
you're working?
But the TiVos actually live on my home network now.
Okay.
So they expose a service. So Thomas was talking about services. One of the services that the TiVos provide on the local network is an XML-based schema where I can actually make certain calls. I can make web requests over my home network to a TiVo in an XML form. It'll return to me, like, the name of the unit. It'll return to me the stuff that's on the current shows that are being recorded. I love that.
I am unit 4719.
Right. GHS 1138. So it'll return all this great metadata and this rich information about what's on the TiVos. And I've got one upstairs called upstairs, one called downstairs. And basically I'm like, you know what? It's oh boy, I'm going to really sound lazy now.
No,
I have to go all the way down to the TV to find out what's on it. I'd rather sit up in my, you know. Yeah, exactly. I'd rather sit up here in my Star Trek console with all my computers around me and know
getting
what's
out of bed to watch TV
and know what's on at any given moment. So I figured, okay, well let's test out this software plus services.
Outstanding.
So the TiVos are providing the service, and I wrote the software in the form of a Vista gadget, and I'm going to stick it up so it's available for anybody. But basically, all it does is it says, "Tell me the names of the TiVos in your house and your home network." And it goes out and it makes a call and says, hey, give me the XML back. It formats it in a nice and easy to understand way. And all of a sudden, I've got a software front end in the form of a Vista gadget calling services on the back end, albeit in my own home network, but they can literally be over the internet anywhere. I mean, it's fantastic. And of course.
And I hacked into it and it's all Dancing with the Stars.
So you think you can dance, buddy. So you think you can dance.
And this makes Battlestar Galactica better. How? Like, what happened to that?
It did remind me that it was on.
Oh,
as a matter of fact,
right.
I happened to be testing it when Razer, right, the two-hour thing was playing, and it refreshed the data, and I saw Battlestar Galactica on the little gadget. I'm like, Battlestar Galactica, Razer's on! Yeah, so it was already beneficial.
All right, so now we've reached the point of this conversation. I don't mean to...
Where Carmine is halfway through.
Carmine is starting to come out, so we're going to have to end this pretty soon.
But you want to see more?
But you know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about...
director's cut? When do we get that?
No, that's going to come. This guy got some really interesting angles. So, what I'd like to talk about this time is there's one of the great things about Mix from my perspective are the parties. So, what are we doing this year, Miss Ritzinger?
Well, I, of course, will be in my hotel room fast asleep.
Yeah, another three.
And praying to our Lord and
so
Savior.
What are some of the fun things that we're going to do at Mix?
Well, I can't reveal everything because there are a few surprises, but we will be at the Tao, the nightclub in the Venetian, which is very hot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
It's often the first stop before you go to rehab. If you're like a 20-year-old celebrity,
right.
Blow out a towel, rehab the next day. It's like classic.
Excellent.
Yes. What else?
We have some
that we can talk about now.
Okay, so we have some surprises for the attendees.
Yes.
Many surprises. I think the towel party is going to be very special. We have some very interesting things I think we're soon to announce about what's going to happen at the time.
So the signal is basically a podcast to get people excited about the Mix conference. So what we've done something a little different than we usually do. Usually what we do is we get, you know, the speakers.
This is an empty port glass that Mike Swanson
right. Oh,
yeah. It's first and only.
Documented
yeah,
evidence.
Please get it documented
it
right now.
Look at that. Port.
And it was good.
Keep going.
It was.
But basically, what we do is we used to have speakers who would come on and just kind of talk about what is it that they're going to talk about.
Chardonnay. Yes.
And so what Mike and I have been doing is we've actually been just having conversations like this one, except probably with a little less booze. Except our last one, we did have booze.
We have not been drinking that much for everybody in the office.
No, we haven't. Right. Yeah, we haven't.
For our bosses, particularly.
And but what we did is we've brought in people who we think are pretty interesting. So, for example, we brought in our favorite two people over here. We've also brought in some folks to talk about
the bartender.
Yeah, well, that's who I was pointing at, right? And the waitress. But basically, we've been bringing in people who talk about what happens behind the scenes. So we brought in Robert Hess, which probably everybody knows from the MSG show.
That's why we're at the Zig Zag.
Yep. And we talked to him about, like, what does it take to build, like, a demo that's a keynote? I think a lot of people just sort of think that, hey, we show up, we plug in a computer, and, hey, we do a demo. And he talks about, like, what does it take to really build something like that? And, you know, what's behind those screens, you know? Is there something going on behind the screens that you see? And we talk about that some more. So it's really sort of a great insight. And so you can check it out at visitmix.com. And then also we have it on the Zoom podcast network, and we also have it on iTunes as well. So you can get to it in a variety of ways.
All right,
and you talk about wanting to hear feedback from, you know, real people in the real world.
Yes.
One of the things about the signal that we want to do is we have an email alias. First of all, I'm going to back up a minute and talk about this conversation that we talk about involving third parties. I mean, we don't just say it; we absolutely mean it, right? We sit in weekly core team meetings when we plan Mix. And I can't even think of the number of times where we try to imagine, okay, if we had actual attendees in the room, how could they help us shape the decision that we're making? Because we make so many of the decisions based on how we think it's going to benefit the attendees and the audiences that we have. And it happens every week, every time. So the signal is a way to do even more of that. We have an email alias. It's signalm@microsoft.com. We love feedback so that we can address questions or any feedback on the podcast.
Take user calls.
Totally take user calls, right? So we've kind of gone old school. We've actually got a phone number, although I can't remember it off the top of my head. If you listen to a podcast or you look at visitmix.com.
And if you call number 14, you win what? Is it again?
I don't know, Ray. What have you approved? actually, we do have a couple Xbox Elites that Jennifer gave us. Yeah. And we're trying to figure out how to get rid of.
The next signal, caller number 14, wins copy of Halo 3 on me.
All right.
Halo. All right.
Wow. Number 14.
Ray's
caller 14.
Right. You heard that here.
We heard it here.
That's right.
It's been reported.
I love that.
But it doesn't mean that we'll give you one of our Xbox Elites. may just get a game.
The game is fine. We'll start with the game. We'll work our way
right.
I will supply the Halo 3.
All right, you are a generous man.
So yeah, please definitely call in. You know, give us your feedback. If you went to last year's Mix and there was something that you didn't like about it, call in. We'll probably put you on the show and actually talk about it.
Give us your feedback on Thomas's shirt, by the way.
Yes. That is quite.
Just in case you're
have you all seen
says,
that? Feedback.
I don't think I can read it. Too dark.
It says, "Dearly Demented."
Tell us about it.
It's actually the fan club for the band Bleeding Through.
So. Oh, right.
I'm a big fan of
you're
them.
You're a rocker. Cool.
And this is their fan club.
I thought of you today because that guy from Quiet Riot died.
Oh, no.
Kevin Dubrow?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and I thought of Thomas because he's our resident.
Wait a minute.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry to hear that, too.
Before you did.
Wow.
because it's not actually kind of cool to say you like these old 80s hair bands.
Oh, I don't like it. I just know who it is.
You gotta love
Twister Sister Rat. Round and round.
Round and
yeah,
round.
Totally.
Milton Berle is in the video.
That's right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, these people really don't have good musical taste, and I apologize up front. So, there you go.
So I want to talk about Up in the Game. Right? Because we always have this conversation.
Wait,
Up in the
Game. Mix 06, with Mix 07, when now we got Mix 08 on the Birds.
Yeah.
And we always want to up the game. It's also
bring
a common
it.
Theme, right? How do we bring it? How do we take what we've delivered to the attendees and the audience before
yeah.
and up that game in everything that we do? So case in point, if I think of Mix 07, one of the things that we did that we got good feedback on was we recorded every single session that was given at Mix.
That's
we turned
right.
it. We didn't just put it up on the web for free, which we did do, but we turned it around within 24 hours. Right? So I'm not aware of any other conference that's done
sandbox.
This.
Sandbox. Sandbox.
Yeah, totally
sandbox.
Go to Mix,
right?
Even if you can't go to
it's
Mix.
That's right. Go to Mix. Even
the
if
massage
you,
bar.
And the massage bar was also
oxygen
new.
Bar.
But some other examples.
Do we have a hash bar this year?
I don't think we do.
Just kidding.
That's the remix in Amsterdam.
I'm sorry.
Right.
So we got to wind down here. What I'd like
well,
to ask.
So we do have other Up in the Games. I mean, I can think of some that I know that I'm personally involved with. One of them is our open mic area. So how do we be more effective with open mic? And open mic's this concept where
yeah.
you can kind of show up, you can plug in your laptop or not, you can have a microphone or not. We provide all the facilities,
yeah.
and you can talk about your technology, your product. You can just get a bunch of folks together who are interested in similar concepts. And one of our questions this year is, okay, well, that's, you know, we've done that before. How can we take that experience and make it even better? We've got a lot of innovative ideas. I want to keep some of these a little bit of a secret, but think about how can we take that conversation that happens inside the bounds of the Venetian
yes.
and expand it out?
Yes. yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. But, I mean, I think that we're rethinking everything. I think it's fair to say that. Mixed chat. Everything
yep.
that everything that we do is being reconsidered. What we're doing. And I think that we're pretty self-aware and critical about, you know, what works and what doesn't work. That's
yeah.
why filling out those attendee evaluations is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And sending feedback to us. And I kid not when I say JRITZ at Microsoft.com. Send us feedback, because without the feedback from the attendees,
yeah.
what's the point? We might as well just, you know, pack it up and go home.
And I think the other cool thing too about Mix, you know, because I've dealt with a bunch of different events that we do. The thing I like about Mix is that everyone is very open to doing things differently.
Yes.
A lot of times,
yes.
what happens is
yes.
because something's been successful, it just becomes cookie cutter. They do the same thing every year. It's what's expected. The web isn't that way, and so Mix sort of reflects that in that as things change on the web, we're going to be changing Mix. So it wouldn't surprise me if 5 years from now we're talking about doing different things, and that's the thing, is that we're always open to those ideas.
Well, let's remember the original idea for Mix 07, if I remember correctly.
Mix 06.
So clearly I'm not remembering correctly, but the original idea was, and I know that Ray was a big proponent of this, as was Ritzy, was let's talk about doing something truly different. And let's really mix it up. Let's not be just another PDC, but aimed at designers and developers.
That's right.
So
we tried.
But you succeeded.
No, but I think both Ray and I feel this way. There's so much more that we could do. And that's what we're trying to do. Little by little, every year, we're trying to do more and more that's unexpected from my
So how about unexpected? Why don't you guys have speakers on stage who don't care about our platform?
We have that.
Are we going to do that again?
We have, of course.
Excellent. I
we
mean,
have
that in and of itself is very important.
What they have to say is interesting to our audience. Of course we do. We have had that.
Excellent.
One of the highest rated sessions in Mix last year
yeah.
was a guy who didn't talk about anybody's platform.
Mm-hmm.
He was the user experience expert.
Luke Carbone.
Excellent.
Luke Carbone, exactly.
Luke Carbone, what a name. Luke Carbone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Paisan. And he was a user experience expert. He just talked about great user experience. He didn't talk about any platform, but it was super well attended. We had to make extra room in the session. It was super highly rated. Of course we'll do that.
Of course there's nothing wrong with the PDC.
No. The PDC
is
awesome.
We love the PDC too.
Everybody loves the PDC, but that is strictly developer focused.
This team also puts on the PDC.
Yes,
so.
We do. And we're putting it on again at some point.
At some point.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
So, I want to wrap back to something.
Wrap it up.
Well, I know.
You want to pick up the thread about the guy from Quiet Riot dying.
I don't, although we should talk about that maybe when the camera's off.
So
I want to talk about, you know, we mentioned the PDC, and I know when I was out in the field and working with customers, one of the questions that I always got, and I can imagine
can I
someone...
Can I guess what it is? I know Mike so well that I can anticipate his needs.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Is the question, Mike,
anticipating his needs.
What is the difference between Tech Ed, PDC, and MIX, and which one should I attend?
Ooh, okay, wow, well, I'm going to have to say that I must be very predictable.
No. I wasn't a wild, crazy night for the Dominican Republic.
That's right. I wasn't going to phrase it that way, but the essence is right. It's MIX for me, right? If I'm watching this video.
Yeah, who is MIX for?
We've talked about a bunch of stuff, but how do I decide if it's the right conference for me?
It is in Vegas, but continue.
It is in Vegas, right? But we've talked about three different audiences, and clearly there's content and there's great stuff that's going on for all three of these audiences. We might not have talked about them equally in this conversation, but we certainly treat them equally at the conference. One is that what we call the developer, right? Our core audience, folks who do development, the designer, professional designer, someone who has that sense of user interaction, probably a sense of style, a lot of creativity. And then that, not the developers don't have creativity.
And we have a sense of style too, bro.
That's right. And then the business folks, right? The folks who are looking to monetize that next web. So if you're one of those three audiences, you already qualify. And then the last piece is, if you're developing for the consumer web, right? So if you're building technologies and you're in one of those audiences and you're building for the consumer web, even if you're not using all Microsoft technologies, which is an important point to make, you want to come to this conference. This is where you're going to hear about all the new stuff that we're doing. You're going to meet with other folks who, frankly, don't all use our technology either. And that's the great thing about MIX. I'm always enthused when I sit back at MIX and I see all those Mac laptops open up, right?
Yeah.
So I know it's reality, right? It's not 100% Microsoft, and nobody is 100% Microsoft. It's always a MIX, frankly. Wow, it's almost
MIX.
Like I planned that.
But that's why you guys here.
It's developing for the consumer
idea,
web.
You should be proud of yourself.
Yep. If you're doing so, I mean, the nutshell is, if you're developing for the web and you're using any Microsoft technology, you really owe it to yourself, frankly, to come to the conference.
Right on. So please do show up.
You not only owe it to
yourself. And you get a free drink from Thomas.
That's
you
right.
owe it to Kevin Dubrow. Do it for Kevin.
Come do it next.
Yes.
The guy who died from Choir Riot.
How quickly she forgets.
That's right.
But
I can think of no better tribute to Kevin Dubrow than attending MIX.
We are going to have fun.
Visit MIX.com 2008. And register now before January 15th.
Yes.
You'll save money.
Hey, it's wonderful to talk to you guys as always.
Good to talk to you as always, Charles.
And MIX is a great conference. I highly recommend it.
Totally.
Your See drinks here, there? Carmine.
Huh?
Your drinks here.
My drinks here.
Yes.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Ritzy. Guys, take care.
All right, over and out.
Rock on.
Bye.